again. The last church we're going to look at in Revelation chapter 3, which is kind of to say this is, after this is where the church age ends, right? Before we go into chapter 4, but I'll let John explain that a little more. But here we are coming to the last of the seven churches that Jesus is addressing. And what I just found out a little while ago was this is the one church that Jesus had nothing good to say about it. Mm-hmm. Nothing good to say about this church. And the fact that it's church number seven, usually seven represents the number of completion and perfect. Well, this obviously doesn't apply here.
Jesus number seven.
Yeah, it's supposed to, yeah, but obviously here that number doesn't apply. Mm-hmm. So before we begin, let's pray and ask God to bless the teaching of his word. Father, thank you always, Father, for allowing us to be here in peace and safety, and knowing that there's so much going on all over the world. Lord, unimaginable acts against your people, your sons and daughters, Christians. And we pray for these Christians that our lives are in danger as we speak. In Nigeria, in Africa, Yemen, Syria, Father. And so we pray for your protection for them and to help them endure these trials, these that, again, we can't even begin to imagine. And we pray also for Israel and all their trials in Palestine. And we pray also for our great nation, Father, that you will continue to watch over and bless it, and that it will fulfill your purpose. And so we love you, Father. We lift this study into your care, Father. We pray for everyone here, all the families, all the ministries mm-hmm. that are taking place, Lord, in this special place that we call our church home here at Southwest Community Church. So, Father, we love you. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. So, again, as I've said before, and I know John's mentioned it also, the seven churches are actual churches that existed. Most scholars and biblical historians are in agreement with that. And also, at least a lot of these churches are representative of what's taking place today. And so even as this letter to the churches, and today we're going to look at Laodicea, the church at Laodicea, and hopefully we can see the warnings here. And we can see also the blessings, and that we would take it to heart. So I'm gonna read each verse because it's so much. Each verse has, I found, that there's so much to say, and I hope to say it. I hope to say it before we finish. Mm-hmm. So let's just take it slow. Again, the pattern in a lot of these letters are the same. You'll see. You know, you'll see the pattern here. So, but let's go ahead. Let's kind of make believe that we are in Laodicea, but we're not being like Laodicea. And Jesus writing to the church at Laodicea. So here we go. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. And I want to pause. I want to try to capture and get a sight of his awe, his wonder, his majesty. I mean, this is it. This is the final letter to the churches. Let's go to Colossians. Let's contemplate. Let's reflect on his majesty.
All right. Colossians
1. Mm-hmm. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 18. And in your notes there, you see the beginning. The beginning. The beginning of what we're going to see here. He, meaning Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things. And in him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. The beginning of pretty much everything.
Yeah.
Everything. He was not created. As you can see there, he is the creator.
God created heaven and earth.
But it's saying that he created.
Yeah,
so he's on equal footing with God. And for all practical purposes, he is God. So that all things, in all things, he might have the preeminence. The word preeminence is a Greek word proteuo, and it means to be supreme. How about this one? Have the first place. Why? Because he is egotistical? No. Because only he is deserving and worthy of all, of it all. I just want to just let that sink in. This is Almighty God the Creator, Jesus talking to us. Okay, so let's go back to Revelation. I am the beginning. That's how he ends his introduction. Verse 15. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. He knows, and we've seen that. That's one of the ways he addresses the church. He knows the works. But here, as I mentioned, there's nothing good for him to commend this church at Laodicea. He knows their lukewarmness. Jesus is not talking here about their spiritual temperature or their passion intensity.
He's talking about their faith.
Well, that's a big part of it.
Yeah.
Okay, I know a lot of times this idea of being hot or cold has been taught to kind of measure your devotion.
Mm-hmm.
You're either hot, on fire,
right,
or you're cold.
No.
I don't think this is what he's talking about here. Nowhere in the scripture do you kind of see this idea of being hot or cold. Go hard or go home. Right? Swing for the fences.
Mm-hmm.
No. Or flip the switch. Like if we're robots. That doesn't sound like something God would ask of us. He knows everything. And he knows we're what? We're human.
We're human. We're not robots.
We're in the flesh. Exactly.
We're
weak. Let's go to Psalm 103. So you can see, if you think the same God that wrote Psalm 103 would write this idea for us to be hot or cold, for us to get it together. Pick a side. Psalm 103, 11 through 14. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust.
Mm-hmm.
He knows we're weak.
He knows everything about us.
Yes.
He knows the number of hairs we got.
That's right.
What we did.
Intimately.
What we knew, everything.
But look what it says. Yeah. He knows our frame. He knows how we're made. He made us.
He knew us before we were born.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Again, does this sound like the words, the same God that would ask us to, hey, be hot or cold, get it together, flip the switch. But in case you need more convincing, let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. Chapter 4, verses 14 through 16.
Wait, where did I get there?
Okay. Verses 14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Mm-hmm. That sounds like a God who's very tender.
Yeah.
Very sensitive. Very aware of our weaknesses. It says he was tempted in all points.
Yeah.
And yet he did not sin.
He talked to me when I was going to go back. He said, my son, I took you out of here. I heard it plainly as you speak.
Mm-hmm.
I listened and I left. Boom. Yeah. Mm. I only went back to see my daughter on the weekends.
Mm. Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, but I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he is saying these words, right?
Yes.
I mean, he's not asking us to be hot or cold, but generally when you ask for a drink, it's either hot or cold. When it's lukewarm, you're like, bleh, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to get there. I'm going to spend a little time here.
Clear, we got to look
yes,
at context.
Yes, exactly. That's what we're going to do.
The context. Yeah.
So, again, I just want to establish here that, you know, I know a lot of churches, but some churches teach like, hey, either hot, you're on fire for me, or you're cold.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I don't believe that's the case, but we're going to see. We're going to look, like Fede said, we're going to look at some context here. Okay, so then what is Jesus talking about here when he says, I wish you were either cold or hot? I believe he is speaking about their usefulness or their lack of usefulness, which is they're useless. They're useless. Remember a major theme in the letters to the seven churches is not that Jesus is threatening them with their loss of salvation, but warning, admonishing of their loss of rewards, their position, their blessings, due to their loss of purpose and focus. That's a major theme with all of these letters. So here in the Church of Laodicea, Jesus is calling out their lukewarmness, their uselessness. And we're going to look more closely at this. We're going to take a short history and a geography lesson to help us better understand the context here. Laodicea was a wealthy region due to their banking and financial position. Apparently, they were geographically where a lot of the trade routes would mm-hmm. go through. And so there was a lot of trading. You needed a lot of banks, and they were wealthy mm-hmm. because of that. They were also wealthy because they were a region they were rich with natural resources and minerals.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing Laodicea lacked, natural water supply.
Mm-hmm.
In order for Laodicea to receive cold drinking water, they have to have it brought to them or piped in from Colossae, which is about 6 miles away.
Mm.
Now, what would happen? Sometimes when that drinking water was being transported to Laodicea, the water became hot.
Mm.
I'm sure all of us experienced in South Florida on a hot day when you wanted to drink a cup of cool water, or maybe from a water fountain, and you go to drink it, what happens?
It's hot.
Spit it out. It. Right? Jesus says, I wish you were either cold or hot, but I vomit you out of my mouth because. Yes, sir.
So when I read it without the other context, my first, kind of because we've been doing these in the other churches, right? So my first thought was that's more about indifference, right? It's not so much that.
Because
like if you were hot, again, not that he's talking in the same terms of the modern society we use today, but if you're hot, if your hearts were on fire, if you were hot to serve and to be the best that you can be, you know, following Christ's path, or if you were cold, which meant maybe you don't know enough, maybe you're still not there as a church, maybe you're just cold because you lack knowledge. However, if you're lukewarm and you choose to be lukewarm, it means that you're rejecting the knowledge,
all right.
And you're choosing, and I think that's kind of what you're saying with like not being useful,
yeah. Right?
It's like an intentional decision.
Yes,
to
exactly.
Not follow,
and you're gonna see how I think they
it's
got
like a
to that.
Going back to his own ways.
Yeah, like saying, hey, you know what, God, I know that you know your path already, but I'm gonna choose to be
my
whatever
path.
I want.
Yeah.
Lack enthusiasm.
Right.
Means lacking enthusiasm.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, but that's a good point. I like that, the indifference.
Kind of indifferent.
Because that's what happens. When you're indifferent, then, you're kind of not useful.
Yeah.
God can't use you.
Right, God can't use you to do
that. Yeah, yeah. And you'll see. You'll see why I think what led them to get here. Mm-hmm. So, they're not being able to get cold water naturally. They had to rely. And so what happened, when that water came, it was heated, and it was good for nothing, right? It was spit out.
Did they have any ice to put in?
No, you're talking about 2,000 years ago. I'm sure they might have had some kind of means to keep it cool. Yeah. Maybe I don't know. But that happened.
Yeah.
That happened. So they understood what was going on here. Mm-hmm. And Jesus was relating. Jesus, what I love about Jesus, he relates to you where you're at, who you are, where you're from. That's the beauty. This is how intimate Jesus knows us and how much he wants us to know him.
He never left me or forsake me.
No, he will never do that because that goes against his character and it goes against his word. Okay, so the cool water that was meant to refresh became useless. There was another water supply about 11 miles away in Hierapolis, where they had hot streams of water. And these hot streams of water had calcium deposits that were very useful for medicinal purposes. Similarly, if you were not able to keep that water hot when it was being transported to Laodicea, it became lukewarm. And again, you know the result, right?
Useless.
You can't drink it. You can't drink it. I was a mailman for 37 years. I experienced this a lot. Sometimes, and you know, she always tried for me to get a thermos.
Yeah.
That way the water was cool. I'm as low key as you can get. I'd get.
You mean you didn't get your big gulp from 7-Eleven?
I didn't get it. Once in a while I would. Once in a while I would. And let me tell you, in a hot summer, that ice would be melted. And but anyway, yes, it happened to me that way. But usually I'd fill up, you know, I had a business route. So not that I had a business route, but I had access to water fountains.
We had in the construction trade, we had tanks of water. With
I saw the big coolers they have and people. Okay.
Yeah.
But I didn't have that.
No.
And not because my wife didn't want me to. She all wanted, you got to do it. That's what. So anyway, many times I've had a water bottle, take one or two water bottles with me and throughout the day. And when I get back to my vehicle, open, I can't drink it. So
it was hot.
I know this situation very, very well. Okay. So, but these hot water that was brought in from Laodicea had healing properties.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was used for medicinal purposes. Mm-hmm. So, Jesus is trying to show the Laodiceans I would rather you be cold, that you can provide refreshment, cool waters. Remember, we're talking to our church here. Or I'd rather you be hot, that you will provide words of healing and comfort. One or the other. That's what he wants. But what were they? Lukewarm. Good for nothing. Useless. Useless. So, how did the Laodiceans, how did the church of Laodiceans arrive at such a state? Well, I think we're going to find out. Let's go back to Revelation.
So we're done with Timothy 1.
Well, for now. I think I might go back there later.
Okay.
So let's go to verse 17. Jesus says, they were cold or hot. They weren't either. But they were lukewarm. And Jesus said the result would be that he would vomit you out of his mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. They were materially prosperous. And many times that leads people to become self-reliant, self-dependent, and self-sufficient. Reliance on material and physical possessions have a way of blinding us to our inward and spiritual realities, which is to say, our constant need of grace to offset worldly influences and ward off sinful desires. This is a real danger we must guard against. I've been, and I've seen some of these churches. Rich.
There's a lot of them. The Catholic Church is the most richest church there is.
There is all kinds.
And
all
you know kinds. How they got all their money? They said, you got to give a lot of money so Christ can forgive your sins.
Well, that a lot of that is because of, again, what's being taught out there.
Right.
They're being taught that godliness is a means to financial gain. That's biblical. And who doesn't want to be rich? And let me make it very clear. There's nothing wrong with being blessed, material, and being rich. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
Is when you rely on those things.
And you think you're better than the other person.
Well, that happens too. But it gets in the way of your relationship with God. He's telling them, you have everything. You're wealthy. And you think you need nothing. And you do not see that you are miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And this is a real danger that we must guard against. Let's look at Paul's admonition in 1 Timothy chapter 6. And we'll see that this is something that we have to be careful with. Again, nothing wrong. What a blessing. What a blessing to have. I mean, we are a prosperous nation. I mean, for the most part, I mean, yeah, you have your areas where there's, you know, a lower income and it's a struggle, but for the most part, we have a huge middle class and upper class, working middle class, and, you know, we're doing pretty good. I was brought up in very modest means. I'm just going to look at it like that, and I'm just grateful to be where I'm blessed.
I was brought up with great parents. I worked since I was 16 years old.
Yeah.
And I used to cut yards so I could take mom and dad to the movies.
Nice, wow. You're a good son.
I was.
I know you were. Okay, so look what Paul says here. The admonition. Verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty. Right? Who mentioned that? They think they're better?
Conceited.
Yes. Somebody mentioned
it. I did.
Oh, it was it. Okay. Nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. I love that verse. God wants you to enjoy what he's allowed you to have. Now, there's a difference between enjoying something and imbuing something, right? Those are two different things. But he's telling you, enjoy it. Enjoy it. He wants you to enjoy it. To continue, verse 18. Let them do good that they may be rich in good works. I love that.
Yes.
You're rich? Good. Now be rich in good works. Ready to give. Willing to share. Storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come that they may lay hold on eternal life. Right. This has been going on a long time.
Yes.
This is nothing new. Nothing new. Reliance on material prosperity also causes us to shut our ears so that we refuse to listen to the counsel of God himself. Let's go back to Revelation. We're going to read verse 18. Look at God's heartbeat.
Good.
I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and to anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. Do you see what's happened here?
So now they're talking allegory.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, we're talking
before. We're to assume they aren't talking allegory, because every time that this stuff gets talked about. Delved into it, always seems like, oh yeah, it's a Catholic church, but
it's not that simple.
It's not that.
No.
But that's always where the blame always seems to come. Yes. And everybody steps back and says, yeah, it's those guys.
Right, exactly.
There's something deeper to it.
Yeah, exactly. Now here, obviously, the riches, not that you can't have material riches, but the value is in spiritual riches. Mm-hmm. This is God's trying to share them. And look at his heartbeat. I love how he says here that the nakedness, the shame of their nakedness may be clothed. Mm-hmm. What shame is he talking about? Our sinfulness. Mm-hmm. He wants us to cover. He wants his grace to cover our sins. Mm-hmm. But what happens is, I start wearing Versace. Again, nothing wrong with it. Right. You know, Versace. Silk shirts and alligator shoes and I'm driving around and I'm starting to think I got it all together and I don't need anything.
Mm. But there's a lot of people like that.
We've met people like that,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If you try to talk to them, I have family, friends that are like that.
Yeah, I got friends.
They don't want to hear anything. They think they got it all figured out. I got a big bank account.
Yeah.
I got properties here and there. They're miserable. Mm-hmm. They're miserable and they don't even realize it. Miserable. Join me in Psalm 81, and we will see, again, God's heartbeat. Psalm 81. This is nothing new. As it says in Ecclesiastes, right? It says, there's nothing new under the sun. God's trying to reach out to his people all the time. Psalm 81. 81, verses 8 through 12.
Right.
Hear, oh, who's what people?
My people.
And I will admonish you, oh Israel, if you will listen to me, there shall be no foreign god among you, nor shall you worship any foreign god. I am the Lord, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not heed my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So I gave them over to their own stubborn heart to walk in their own counsels. Their own counsels. God wants to counsel them, mm-hmm. but they want counsel from themselves.
It's like when
tell me what I want to hear.
When they were coming out of Egypt. The first generation never made it to the promised land. Was the second generation?
They forgot.
They were complaining so much. They wanted to go back to Egypt,
and they wanted to stone
Moses.
The very ones. Yeah. They got mad at Moses, constantly complaining.
And then when Moses was 40 days up in the mountain, they made a calf.
Yeah.
And they caused Moses to stumble.
Mm-hmm. God, wanting to communicate his purposes and his concerns to his people, has been an ongoing dilemma for thousands of years. And here, going back to Revelation, we see Jesus is trying to get the attention of who? His church, his people. Let's go back to Revelation. I know there's a lot of verses here. Yes. Mm-hmm. Did you want to say something?
No, verse 19.
Yes, verse 19. Thank you. Again, look at God's heart. God, meaning Jesus. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. He chastens, disciplines us. Mm-hmm. For
why does he do that?
Because he's angry? He disciplines us for our good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's our father. Mm-hmm. He knows what's good for us.
Yeah.
And if we don't listen,
you'll get mad with us.
There's a saying, I know a lot of people don't like it, that sometimes God has to put you on your back because that's the only way you'll what?
Look up.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of truth to that. And Jesus is telling him, telling his people, here he's telling us, mm-hmm. repent. I'm doing this so that you can repent. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12, and you can actually leave a marker there because we're going to finish in Hebrews chapter 12. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Verses 3. Yeah, I'm saying when we leave a marker there because we're going to finish there.
Okay.
Hebrews chapter 12.
I got the $1 million bill.
I saw somebody, I met somebody, a customer once, delivering my route, and we were talking about the Lord and our faith, and he told me, aren't you glad the Lord doesn't punish us anymore? I said, wait, clarify, what do you mean? Yeah. He doesn't punish, he doesn't discipline us anymore. I said, that's not a good thing. Mm. Look what it says here. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. Is that what I wrote there?
Yes.
Yeah, it says here. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as what?
Sons.
My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and he scourges every son whom he receives. We can keep reading. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which you have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Mm. So when God disciplines you, it's a good thing. Mm-hmm. When you're going through something, whether it's financial, physical, relational, get on your knees. Say, God, show me. Show me in your word. Be sensitive enough for God to bring somebody. This is what church is about.
Yeah.
This is what church is about. All right, let's go.
And then it implies there that those that are not disciplined are not part of his family.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You got to be careful. It's, I got it all good, and I don't need anything, and I'm cruise controlling all the way into heaven. Okay, so let's go now back to Revelation. I think I'll be able to...
we're going to finish it.
Yes. Yeah. I think I'll be able to get...
It's like, to me, when I was out of my body, this bright light grabbed a hold of me. It took me out. And I saw my body in the floor, and I saw my mom holding on to my hand.
Mm.
God was telling me that
she was okay.
She was okay.
Yes.
She was
young. You needed
to
hear that.
She was young and beautiful.
Mm. Amen. So here, let's go back to Revelation. We're going to look now. Verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. Now, this verse is used a lot for evangelism,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
People share their faith,
yeah.
and they say, hey, God's knocking on the door.
Open up.
Just open the door, he'll come in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm saying, it happens. People
yeah.
use that.
I,
look
I did knock on the door, you let me in.
Yeah. That was something else.
But it's true. It's a well-known verse.
It's a well-known verse that people
yeah.
use, and I've seen tracks and Jesus knocking. It's
yeah.
nice. But, I mean, the context here is not that at all. The context is he's inviting us. He's calling us to a closer fellowship and a deeper intimacy. God is always desiring to draw close to us. And this is not the first and only time Jesus invites us to a closer walk. Let's go to John chapter 14. You're going to see this very same idea.
He's knocking at the church door. And he's not knocking at your...
Right.
Like people say that he's knocking at your
yeah,
door.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, these are talking to
believers.
Yeah, some of the believers. And I don't, you know, I don't see anything wrong with that. But, you know, just to, you know, to be true to the context, he is talking here about wanting to draw closer to us,
mm-hmm.
his people, sons and daughters. John chapter 14, 23, 24. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not keep...
Does not love me.
I'm sorry. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me.
Mm-hmm.
Same idea.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to draw closer to us.
Mm-hmm.
But are we listening? Are we obeying what we hear? Do we want to do it his way, or do we want to do it our way?
His way.
Yeah, but it comes down to
yeah.
that. And he's telling us. He's telling us, listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
Spend time with me. Seek me in my word, and we will make our home with you. He's with us, but we're talking about a closer.
He's with
closer
us.
Relationship.
He's driving and going everywhere. He's with us.
Mm-hmm. So let's finish now the last two verses. As we come to the last two verses of Revelation, the last church that Jesus is speaking to. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Am I reading this right?
Yes.
We've seen all these promises to him who overcomes, right? He's going to give us a new name. We're going to have a pillar. We're going to have a stone. But to sit with him on his throne... I don't know about you guys, but that idea is just staggering. Hasn't even occurred to me. I don't. But yet, he's offering that to us. Remember when James and his brother asked? They wanted to sit on the side,
mm-hmm.
on the thrones next to Jesus. They even asked his mother, right? James and John.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said, "Hey, that's not for you." Determine. That's from my Father. Yes, it could be one of us.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine that? And we're talking about forever and ever and ever. Look at Eric. Eric, you might be on that throne.
I don't think so.
No? Okay. But you could be. Can you imagine?
We can visit it.
In the sight of eternity?
Yeah.
And you see Brandon? Wait a minute, Brandon. He's the one. I know him. People are going, yeah, right. You know, man. Brandon, you're going to be, hey, what's up, Al? What's up, Lance? How you doing? Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting next to It's simply staggering. But yet that promise is there for us. And again, nothing new. Let's go to 2 Timothy. Paul encourages us. Look what Paul says here in 2 Timothy, chapter 2. It says, starting in verse 11, this is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. Okay, we get that, right? Mm-hmm. If we endure, right? That sounds like another word for overcome. If we endure, overcome, we shall also reign with him. We can stop right there. Reigning with Christ. Again, this is, I don't know about you guys, but this is like, I'm just going to be happy to get it. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm just so grateful. Everything that I've been through, everything he's shown me, everything he's given me, I'm like, everything's icing. So just to get there and to think that he might say, hey, ow. I'd be like, no, I don't think, there's got to be another ow. Who knows? And now finally, as we look at the last verse, let's go to Revelation. And again, a very familiar ending to all the seven letters. Jesus says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Again, remember, Jesus is speaking to his people, his church, believers. Okay? That's who he's speaking to. Let's conclude. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12 and we'll conclude. And maybe we have some time to ask some questions or share some comments. Every time Jesus addressed one of the seven churches, he always ended it, are we listening? Are we getting it? And that's why I put there in parentheses, but now you see here in the final verse 22, I put your final notice. Are we getting this? So here in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 25 through 25, it says, see that you do not refuse him who speaks. Meaning who? Jesus. Christ. For if they did not escape if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. Who's he talking about? Jesus. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Remember, this is the end of the church age, and this is the beginning after the church age becomes the judgment of God. Right? The tribulation.
The next dispensation.
Yes. I'm sorry, what's that?
The next dispensation.
Yes. So verse 27. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken. I kind of like think of, you know, what's happening now, what Jesus is trying to do in the church, the seven churches, but in all churches, he's like, you know, like, trying to dust off, you know, all these wrong thoughts.
Yeah.
Especially wrong doctrine. It's like, come on, guys, get it, get it. He's shaking. He's shaking us up. Indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. How precise is that? To serve God with reverence, humility, godly fear. It's not complicated. I know it's not easy. But this is part of what we do these Bible studies. This is why we go to church.
To learn.
We want to learn and to grow and to draw closer to him. so that when our time is done, mm-hmm. we can hear what? Well done, good and faithful
servant.
Well done,
good faithful servant.
Yeah. Again, mm-hmm. might be sitting next to Jesus on his throne. Mm-hmm. You never know. You never know. You never know. Wow, thank you, Lord. I was able to finish.
That was good.
Good.
So, we've got some time. Go. I know you got some questions. No? No questions?
No.
Questions? Comments? Come on, Jenny. I know you.
No. Yeah.
Go. Yes. Do it. Do it.
Yeah. I just wanted to clarify something. I get it. I think I finally, when you said he doesn't want us to be hot or cold, it's not that it's hot or cold. He wants us to be useful.
Yes.
That was the part that was missing.
Yes.
That confused me
yes.
at first.
Yes. Yes. And I know a lot of it is taught. You know, you have these.
When I first got, I remember when I first came to the Lord that we read this verse. That was the idea, that he would rather
well,
you be on
like
fire,
that.
Or
yeah.
And I'm like, why would God prefer me to be cold? Like that didn't make sense. But now, of course, reading in the context of the
thank
usefulness,
you. He yeah. says it. I want you to be hot or cold. He's not saying I want you to be hot, not cold. Both cold refreshes. In this case, the hot heals. The church is supposed to refresh and bring healing. And comfort.
But he wants us to be one or the other.
Mm.
Yeah.
Which
or
I,
both.
I think he wants you to be both.
I think it could be both.
Right, right.
Yeah. Like Paul
both,
says,
both.
Be all things to all people
right,
at all
right.
times.
Yeah. But they
so,
weren't even
so
being
certain,
either.
Yeah, yeah. There's some a lot of people who are neither. But
yeah.
It's at a
yeah.
certain level, the fun common colloquial word is learn to fake it in all situations. If the person's feeling sad, you have to grieve with them. And if a person's happy, you celebrate with them, always looking for a way to direct their focus to say, wow, whatever's happening, God is with me.
Hmm.
Otherwise, how do you put on the joy of the Lord? How do you give thanks in all things if you're not always, you know, when we read through these church things, we always think as though it's a church thing. And there's a lot of open ended ideas on all of these things that really,
mm-hmm.
for those who are reading it, are, I mean, I gotta think about this for myself, really.
Mm-hmm.
It's always fun. It's easy. Oh, yeah, look at those guys in the corner. That's how they always act.
Yeah.
That might be partially true. There's, especially in America, there's whole denominations built
mm-hmm.
on some of these concepts that they don't even read this stuff. If you go and read about their theology, they don't even read Revelation. They always read the
yeah.
three Gospels only. 25 times a year, and then maybe jump to two or three other stories the rest of the time. And there's whole organizations built on that
yeah,
kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But they'll never move beyond past that. Only their people might. Some of their people might see it. And that's why you always hear stories of, wow, I came out of such and such, and I really started to finally grow.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were what was it? They're locked in with
yes.
the doctrine of men in an institutional organization. That's
right.
why... people go to Belize and drink the Kool-Aid or whatever it is. That's because
mm-hmm.
none of them challenge anybody for anything.
And it's sad because maybe you guys have been in this situation. I've been in churches where, you know, you're not encouraged to learn.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask a question, sometimes I even look down. How dare you ask that? That's not God's heart. God's really? God is worried that you might bring some tarnish to his... That's God. Ask him, come to me, ask me whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
Churches should be like that. I don't have, I've talked to all kinds of people. And they come up to me and you know, I remember this one guy, he ended up killing himself.
Mm-hmm.
But he had problems. He had a lot of issues. And he was renting from one of my father's buildings that he managed. And he used to, and he knew I was his son. I was the mailman. My father's, the man, the building he managed was like a block away.
Yeah.
And he would see me. He knew.
And yeah.
He was. I think he had a demon.
You used to get angry with you?
Well, not with me. With my dad.
Yeah.
You know, with that. But then he knew I was his son.
Mm-hmm.
So, but when he would see me, he would always like, listen. I don't want you to get mad at me. I don't have anything with you, but your dad. You know what? I didn't get mad.
Mm.
I knew he had issues. You know, I wasn't getting. I didn't feel threatened.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I felt bad for the guy. Look, he ended up taking his own life. You know, but sometimes we're so afraid. You know, we're so afraid to just
open up.
Just be humble.
Just be yourself.
Be yourself.
Yeah.
God doesn't want you to prove. He's proven everything. He's got to. You think you can outdo what God has done and given us?
I'm not the same person I was, but one thing I love to make people laugh.
Yes.
I like to kid around.
That's a gift.
I've always been like that.
That's a gift. Everybody has a gift.
Yeah.
You have some people
did
better.
Did your wife accuse you of being too silly all the time? Or she
no, my daughter does.
Oh, your daughter does. See,
yeah.
You got to watch that.
And he doesn't need him to. Everybody tells him to. Anyway, but...
So, I find it interesting that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of their evil practices.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the same thing went for the world when he flooded the world. And with Noah's Ark.
Mm-hmm.
And
Rome.
After he flooded the world, he said that he would never do that again.
Mm-hmm.
And now he leaves the wicked up to their own devices.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's interesting, because we were talking about that concept a little while ago, you know, where those who don't belong to him, they're free to do whatever they want. They're not going to get disciplined.
But they do get consequences, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's definitely consequences.
Mm-hmm.
And again, now we're going to get into the church is removed.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, the church is supposed to be the preserving, the salt,
mm-hmm.
the preserving agent in this world to restrain evil. So think when the church is, when God removes, when God raptures and gathers the church.
The church.
There's nothing. There's going to be evil going unrestrained. Look
for
how
7 years.
Things are now.
For 7 years, it's going to be evil.
Yes.
But
unimaginable
years,
evil. And God is going to judge
if
that.
If you don't have the mark of the beast, you can't eat,
yeah.
you can't work, you can't have nothing.
Well, you're getting ahead of us. Gotta wait. We're going to get there. We're going to get there.
Now, I remember when I was studying this about Laodicea that there was medical schools in that area. And you know, water is so important for medical schools. And what you said earlier remind me of what I studied before that you know, cold water is important for a medical school, and so is hot water. But lukewarm water was no good. It was useless.
It was useless.
Yeah.
It's useless. And
so
that's
the way you know he's using this analogy to
they became
a point
useless.
To
but look at what they were trusting in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Timothy, don't trust in uncertainty. They were trusting in their riches.
How far did they have to go to get the water? You said?
And,
6 miles.
6 miles to
six
the
miles one way and 11 miles.
In her, and to get the hot water.
From what's the name? Sardis, you said?
Colossae.
To get the cool water.
Colossae.
And then to get the hot water, they have to go to Hierapolis. Hierapolis.
What's interesting, too, is that like when the water would finally reach them, it was full of sediment. Not only was it was like completely undrinkable because of taste,
yeah.
but completely plagued, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like it was.
Yeah,
cortina.
It was tainted.
Yeah, tainted.
Yeah, and you couldn't do anything with it. What
could
you do? Look at this.
Right.
I know some translations say spit, but vomit, it's,
right.
you know, it could actually.
Yeah.
It could be that
sick.
Bad that
yeah.
you're like.
It makes you sick.
Mm-hmm. It makes you sick, so.
Yeah.
It's what? Nothing.
It was
worthless.
Yeah.
But again, he's given them a chance to repent.
To repent.
To be zealous. Do the things that I tell you. It's not that, again, it's not difficult. It is to love people, especially when you know they mean evil for you.
Yeah.
Especially that you know they're saying things about you.
Mm-hmm.
They want to harm you.
I've had
to trust
that.
Yes.
That.
We just came through something that we're still trying to catch our breath with. It's just, but God is faithful.
Yeah.
God is faithful. God is faithful.
So I just wanted to share because and I'm only doing this because I don't know if Jenny and them know about this, but like, so we started with in Colossians 1 where it talks about he's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, all things were created in heaven that are on earth, visible and invisible. Like it's so beautiful. And then it talks about how he's before all things and in him all things consist. He's the head of the body, the church. So, and I love the song that we sing, the one that says, you hold it all together, you know, that song.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know if you know about laminin? Have you heard about Lemonin? Well, I'm glad I'm sharing it. So Lemonin, in this, it's a cell adhesion molecule, and it's the stuff that holds the membranes of our bodies together. In other words, it keeps everything in our body together, like la tripa from just like everything is, it's in place because of Lemonin. So if you Google Lemonin and click on images, L-A-M-I-N-I-N, Lemonin.
I can't even pronounce it.
A family of heterotrimeric glycoproteins that play a crucial role in forming the structural scaffold.
Yeah, click on images though.
Membranes in animal tissues.
Mm-hmm.
Click on images.
Yeah, it's intertwined.
It's the cross. It looks like a cross. It's incredible.
But what's cool too is that it's all intertwined, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like the string of three chords.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
How did you learn all that?
Oh, that's...
She's a science teacher.
I'm a science
teacher.
Retired
science teacher.
But I always loved the study of Lemonin because it was just, wait a minute, like, you know, you hold it all together. Yeah. Just the fact that... Mm. Our planet is held together by the gravity.
By the power of God. Of his word. Einstein said, you know, it's kind of sad, you know, because he was convinced. He was convinced that there was a God. He just didn't think we could know him personally. Mm. But he said that there was this energy that was holding everything together.
Mm-hmm.
He was convinced that it had to be a divine creator.
It's the power of God.
The power of God that holds everything together. Yes. All right.
Awesome.
No other questions, no other comments. We'll go home early. Thank you, Father, for your word that we can go to all the time and find all we need to live this life to please you, Father. And in your word, we have comfort and we have hope. We have food for our soul. We have peace,
Lord.
And we have Jesus in every page of this most special book. And we're thankful to you that we have it, Lord, here in our fingertips to go anytime. But more important, Father, we pray that these words will not just be on a page, they will be in our hearts and in our minds, Lord. Help us to be faithful, to be humble, to love one another, Father, and to love you. We love you, Father. Again, we pray everyone here tonight get home safely. We pray for their families, Lord, and we pray that you continue to do your special work in and through Southwest Community Church. And we pray in your most heavenly name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I was going through this Bible studies up in Hollywood with Pastor Paul.